we'll get started. Today's Destination Health, we are recording 2 hours. Sometimes we extend out into three. I can't do that today. And last week we did three and still didn't get to all the questions. So I would advise you to jump in early. There's still plenty of time, but don't wait. The sooner you press one on your phone, the better the odds are that you'll get through. And I'll keep you updated on the call volume as we go. Let's get started.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry. This is Trucking Business and Beyond. The show.
False start. We're going to do that again.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry. This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs, back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking, and today is Destination Health. My co-host is with me, Kim Cockerham. We're going to take your calls and answer your questions about everything health, fitness, food, nutrition, diet, lifestyle, drugs, disease, supplements, you name it. We'll talk about it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call. We've been lied to for decades, and it's killing us. Kim and I are here to help you find your destination health. And we're going to get started here pretty quick. We're going to get to your calls in a bit. Kim, welcome.
So glad to be here, Kevin.
You know, I used that phrase at the beginning of the show. We've been lied to for decades, and it's killing us. And the interesting thing in the news is the tide is turning, finally. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to see a lot of this. In fact, if you look at medical, I don't want to say discoveries, but when we get a shift in thinking around, you know, medical ideas, it tends to take over a decade before it becomes truly mainstream in the medical community. So even after 10 years, you will still find practitioners and doctors using the old ways. It takes that long to change this. But the whole high fat, low carb thing has been around for a while now, not even close to being mainstream, but it's been here a while. But we're starting to see a shift. I looked at the news this week and this morning, and it was just article after article after article about this shift away from the old advice and moving towards the new advice of high fat. I shared a clip with you from the doctor's show on TV. Now, I'm not a huge fan of that show. I have seen some really bad advice on that show, but I just happened to catch a clip, and they were talking about reversing type 2 diabetes, which we're going to talk a lot more on the next show. So I'll kind of save the diabetes story for the next show, but this is a prime time TV show talking about and showing the results of high fat, moderate protein, low carb. And it's a really interesting story. Sammy Inkinen, you and I have talked about him before. He's a world champion triathlete and he was pre-diabetic.
That jumped out at me when you shared that video that it was him, and I was like, oh my gosh. And it just like comes full circle. I love that.
Yeah. So we'll get to the diabetes story in the next show. I want to focus a little bit on the shift. Professor Tim Noakes, he was one of the guys who had promoted high carb training for years and years. The carb loading, he was a big part of that. And he came out and he admitted, he said, look, I had it all wrong, along with many other people we've talked about. And I have no problem with that. He was going by, you know, what everybody was learning and being told. And I applaud him for having the guts to say, I was wrong. And he'll even say, I was wrong and I hurt people, but I'm going to change that. And he did. And he switched 180 degrees to, you know, moving completely away from carb loading and moving to high fat training and ketogenic training. And he practices in South Africa. They took him to court over this. They took him to trial saying he was going to kill people with this new advice. And the exciting news that just came out this week, he won. He's been vindicated.
Yeah. So awesome.
Yeah. So another story in, I believe it was Amsterdam. Same thing. Another doctor brought up on charges, malpractice charges for recommending high fat, low carb diets. And he won. So the tide is shifting. And it literally, I've got 30 articles in front of me, and I'm not going to go through them all. From, you know, more mainstream media finally getting on board with this. So that's really good to see.
Yeah, and can you imagine how much courage it takes, like Dr. Nooks, to say I was wrong, you know, and put yourself out there up against, you know, the whole medical community, and they're at danger of losing their livelihood and yes, just the, you know, all that extra stress of what you have to do to, you know, just stand your ground. But I'm just so grateful, you know, for that. And yeah, it was, I had seen it come across. I think you posted it too, like on Twitter, and you had to almost read it twice, and everybody's like retweeting it because everybody that's, you know, in this community is backing him and watching that happen. And that was truly, truly wonderful.
Yeah, so we're going to come back around to the diabetes, because that's one of the really big issues here when we talk about moving to a high-fat diet. That's in the next show. I want to report some new biohacking results. I think I touched on this last week after reading Dave Asprey's book. What is Dave Asprey's new book? What's the title of it?
I can picture his face.
I know, I can't think of it right now. Something brain or mind or something. It'll come to me in a little bit. Yeah. But I started reading some of the things he practices and talked about. And I've looked at this idea before, and I've even tried it. The keto cycling, Headstrong, Michael just sent it to me. Mm-hmm. Headstrong's the title of the book. I've kind of looked at keto cycling. I've heard, you know, one day a week or one day every 2 weeks, whatever it is, it never worked for me. It was awful for me. You know, I would be fairly strict keto for 6 days. Then I'd try a day of kind of carb loading almost. They, you know, it felt like carb loading to me. It wasn't really, but when you come off a strict keto, it felt like it. And I didn't feel good the day I was doing it. I had all kinds of cravings. I would start to feel some of the aches and pains. I didn't have the energy in just one day. And it was like I was obsessed with food again. You know, I couldn't stay away from food all day. And then it would take me multiple days till I got back into ketosis and felt good again. And by that time, it's only a couple days and I was cycling. It just, you know, everybody's bio-individual, so you do have to try what works for you, and I did, and that didn't work for me. So I kind of just started to ignore the whole keto cycling idea and decided I was just going to stay in ketosis because I feel amazing there, and I get lots of benefits. And then I read Dave's book, and I know I've heard him say this before, but it didn't click. He would talk about, you know, he loves sushi. So he would go out at night and he would eat rice, and he knows it takes him out of ketosis. And the next morning, he would, you know, go heavy into the brain octane, get right back into ketosis again. And when I read the book this time, it clicked. I thought, let me try that. So I've been doing it for maybe 3 weeks or so now, might even be coming up on a month, and I'm getting a little better at it as I go. So I will be really, really strict keto all day, like almost no carb till about 6 o'clock at night. So I'll get up in the morning, 2 cups of bulletproof coffee. When I do start eating, it will be a very nutritious protein, like I've really been focusing on. When I do eat around 1 o'clock or so, tuna, salmon, sardines, liver, heart, those kind of things, with virtually no carbs to go with it. I'll just eat the protein, the really nutritious protein and fat. And I might snack once or twice throughout the day. And I usually try to make it a very low carb snack, nuts, beef jerky, things like that, fat and protein throughout the day, really strict. At 6 o'clock or so, all the rules are gone. I even said, as long as it's whole real food, eat whatever you want and just don't worry about it. And I was doing this thinking, whoa, because within an hour of starting that, the cravings come back. And I would like keep eating the rest of the night. And I thought, this can't be good, you know, but the next morning I would get up, do the Bulletproof coffee, be right back into ketosis. I'm sleeping relatively good. I have some bad nights still, and I think it's just a lot of stress, which I'm going to talk about today as well. And our schedule has been a little crazy, but even on the nights where I don't feel like I slept great and I don't have a good sleep score on the app, I still wake up early. I might sleep in an extra hour, hour and a half on a night like that. But once I'm up, I feel fantastic. So I keep doing it thinking, okay, what's the downside to this going to be? I'm eating what feels to me like way more than what I normally eat. And when I get back from the break, I'm going to explain some of the things I've been eating at night, almost kind of shocking to me. Not in the food itself, it's all whole real food, but the amounts of food I've been eating and the amounts of carbs I've been eating at night. And then I'm going to tell you what my results are. And I have a theory, imagine that, on why it's working so well. Stick around. We'll be right back with more stuff. Kevin Rutherford, this is Destination Health. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me. We're talking about some biohacking results and some keto cycling. So, Kim, I'll give you a kind of an example of a night. Like, and I know I talked about this. I love Thai food. Almost always involves like rice noodles, which I don't worry too much about rice noodles from, you know, a reactive kind of sense, but they're clearly very high in carbs. So got a big dish of Thai food, drunken noodles, it's probably four servings. I mean, it's the typical restaurant portion in a giant to-go container packed in there, probably at least four servings. And I ate about 90% of it. I couldn't stop. And immediately after, started craving something sweet. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to go with this. Let's see what happens. That's what biohacking is all about. So I ate an apple and nut butter, and not a third of the apple, the whole apple, and it was a big apple. And I almost never do that. I usually eat a third of it. Not 45 minutes later, I'm in the kitchen making, I use whole milk, plain yogurt, and I load it up with frozen blueberries and blend it in a food processor, and it comes out almost like sorbet. Lisa looked at me because of the amount, and she said, are you going to eat all that? And I said, oh, hell no, I'm not going to eat all this. It's just I threw too much in the bowl. I didn't even bother taking it out of the food processor bowl. I carried the bowl to the couch, sat down, and polished the whole thing off.
That's funny.
That I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing? I mean, I'm probably at 80 carbs in an hour and a half. But I thought, you know what? It's an experiment. Let's see what happens. A little while later, I'm wandering around and munching on monkey brittle, which again is wonderful, but you know, you shouldn't eat the whole bag. The whole night was like that. And I've had several nights like that. And I haven't, you know, I've been going by just how I feel right now. You know, how am I doing during the day? How am I sleeping? I'm not even thinking about weight or any of that stuff. I feel fantastic. There's no pain. I'm sleeping better than I used to, and that's improving every day. In the morning when I get up and I go heavy on the brain octane, like 4 tablespoons in the first 2 hours that I'm awake in 2 cups of bulletproof coffee.
Wow.
And I feel amazing. My energy level goes through the roof. My mind is like firing on 12 cylinders in overdrive. And I'm sure I'm annoying the hell out of everybody. So I thought, wow, you know, this is crazy. What is the downside? Am I going to start gaining a bunch of weight? And I thought, I don't feel like I am. My clothes are actually, my jeans are feeling a little loose. So I weighed myself, and I was for a long, long time, right around 152, 153, pretty consistently. After 3 weeks of this, this morning I was 145.
Wow.
But not only am I not gaining weight, I'm actually losing weight, and I don't want to, I'm not trying to, not in any sense. I was really happy, you know, at 150 to 155, and all of a sudden I'm 145. And I thought, wow, what, how do you even explain this? Clearly the calories in, calories out theory isn't going to work. Even the carb theory isn't going to work. There's something else going on that we don't understand. And I'm not exactly sure what it is. But then I thought, what else have I changed? So this is part of my theory. You know, there are clearly benefits to doing this. But there's some downsides. I'm coming up with so many ideas. And every idea I think, oh, my God, think of all the people that idea can help if we finish it. But I'm also creating a lot of work. Not only am I coming up with ideas, I've been working a lot. I've been working on courses, online courses, and we've been working hard on the webinars. We're writing the book. We just have so much going on, and I keep piling on to everybody in the company. And the downside to that, for me and probably everybody else, is no matter how much you love what you're doing and no matter how many people you're helping, this is stressful. You know, we're working probably 15 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have, Lisa and I haven't taken a day off in I don't know how long, because not only is she doing all of her normal work, all of the ideas I keep piling on, she's been doing all of the shipping and trying to train new employees.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
she's not taking a break. So I realize, you know, this might all be good, but I've got to find some balance here. And, you know, as excited as I get about these things, I'm causing stress. I've been working really, really hard to kind of mitigate that stress. You know, we can't eliminate it. This is stressful. There, you know, I'm creating deadlines. I'm creating projects. I'm creating this desire to do more and help more people. And yet there's only so many hours in a day. And it's stressful just when I think of an idea and then say, wait a minute, we just don't have time. That alone is stressful to me because I want to do it. Mm-hmm. So I've been working really hard. And one of the things that I do, I've talked about this a lot, but I've been getting really, I don't want to say strict about it, but because it's a time when I actually relax, my gratitude exercise in the morning. I have a journal that I write in to kind of keep track of all my ideas, an online journal. And I can have different journals for different ideas. And I have one just for gratitude. And my exercise in the morning is I need to go in there, quiet down, do some square breathing, and then I write 3 things that I'm really grateful for. And I don't just write them and kind of move on and get to work. I have to slow down and actually feel them. There's a difference between thinking about what you're grateful for, writing down what you're grateful for, and actually feeling that gratitude. And I'm feeling the gratitude. For example, one of the, and this list can get very repetitive, which is fine. You know, I'm not writing 3 new things every day for 30 days in a row. A lot of this is repetitive because I am really grateful for the same things many days. So a lot of times I'm grateful for the team I'm surrounded with and all the work they do and the support that I get from them. And I'm grateful for the tribe that we have, that they listen to our shows and follow what we do, and they buy our products and services. Because honestly, if they don't buy our products and services, we can't keep doing what we do. And that's just a fact of life. That's how business works. And I'm really grateful that they do that. So I take the time to really feel that gratitude, not just think it. Then, this is kind of a new twist on this, then I try to get into feeling the opposite. What would it feel like if I didn't have this team? How frustrating would that be for me to not have all this support and be able to do all these things that the team is really doing? Or what would it feel like not to have that tribe? What if they weren't listening to the shows? What if they weren't buying our products and services? I wouldn't be able to do this. And that is such a major shift. You go from these wildly positive emotions to these horribly negative emotions. And then, of course, I'm never going to end on that note. I shift back into, hey, you know what? They are there. You can be grateful for them. And I go back into that gratitude mode, and then I move on with my day. And I also make time every day to at least get in 30 minutes of a guided meditation. I'm really not very good at meditating on my own. I probably haven't worked at it enough, but a guided meditation or guided hypnosis works amazing for me. So I've been working harder at making sure I get that in every day. Now, on the surface, you could look at this and say, that's really counterintuitive. You're working 15 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can't keep up with all the work. Why would you take 45 minutes of productive time out of every day? You know, when you add that up over a week, that's a lot of hours I could be working. But what I find is I'm much more productive. I produce better and more results by taking that time out of my day. And that's the quick short-term benefit. The longer-term benefit is I think it's keeping me really healthy. You know, I'm not allowing the stress to overcome me. And my immune system is incredible. I've been around all kinds of sick people. It's that time of the year right now, and I don't get a thing. I'm not doing all the stuff they tell you to do, wash your hands all the time and all that crazy. And I just don't get sick. So the long-term benefit, I think, of really managing the stress and taking that 45 minutes out of every day, I think it makes me much more productive. Then my next theory, you and I have been putting a lot of work into, we have people where we get the diet right, we get their digestion fixed, we're seeing really positive results, and yet they're still stuck on weight loss. And we see them scoring horribly on adrenal, pituitary, and thyroid, even though we're supplementing and we're getting them the right nutrition. The only thing that could be left is that they're just not managing stress well. And I don't think we have fully grasped how much stress is involved in this whole process. So we're going to get to a break. We're going to come back, talk a little bit more about that. Then we're going to get to your calls and questions. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me. So, Kim, like I said, you've been doing a lot of work on this idea and concept, especially from a female perspective, because mm-hmm. we see this more in females. And I think it's a lot of how they process stress differently than men do. Men don't care quite as much. That's, you know, we could say it a lot of different ways. Women really tend to focus, and I just think they tend to get a lot more stressed out over, you know, most things. And that starts to make sense why we see more women struggling with keto or paleo and not getting the same results. They can be eating the same foods. They can be taking the same supplements. And yet women tend to get stuck a lot more. And they are more complicated hormonally to begin with. And I think that's why. So I think we're right on the cusp. And other people are certainly talking about this and working on it. But I think this is a big key. I think I'm able to eat this way and starting to lose weight because I'm working so hard on the stress management part of it. And I just don't think that we really grasp that yet.
I don't think we, and, I don't, and think what you're doing,
and what you're doing is just what,
I'm here to go on this side. When you talk about, you know, giving your time to that, it just reminds me of what the first, you know, Steve Covey, the first things first and sharpening the saw, you know, putting that time to do that is absolutely making you, you know, more productive and feel better. And I just don't think we give it enough credit. Like we feel like we can't do it. We can't give that time. We don't get instant feedback sometimes. I mean, if you stop, I love the couple things you said that I love, you know, it's the gratitude and writing it down, but to stop and feel it, you know, really feel what that feels like and then do the reverse. That was kind of in line with, I think, what I was sharing last week. I think it was Dave Asprey's post was that, you know, sometimes you have to do just the opposite, you know, like the hot and cold shower kind of thing, letting yourself get hungry, letting yourself feel what it would feel like to be lacking in life to really then appreciate the abundance. But yeah, I think with the women, especially, you know, there's that video out there with the guys, you know, the guy's brain where you guys can focus like on one thing and our brain is going, bouncing all over the place with all these different things and internalizing it. And that absolutely compounds with the stress. And we are seeing it absolutely with the people we're working with, aren't we?
We are. And I think we're getting closer and closer to a real breakthrough to be able to help those people. Here's a phrase for you. Waffles and spaghetti.
Okay.
What do you think that has to do with?
Waffles and spaghetti.
I'll say it like this. Men are like waffles and women are like spaghetti.
Give me more.
Okay.
So, trying to get a visual.
Picture a waffle.
Yeah.
Picture a waffle.
All the compartments.
Exactly. You pour syrup into the waffle and it all separates into the little compartments. That's men. Men are able to separate all the different issues. Men are able to say, wait a minute. What do you mean you don't feel like having sex tonight? It because they're not thinking of anything else.
Yeah.
And women are like spaghetti. Every strand of spaghetti is a different thought, and they're all wrapped up and tangled up, and they can't possibly separate their thoughts. So to them, everything is connected and intermingled with everything else. And that's a very biological difference. It's not good or bad. It is. And it's we know that. And I'm sure if we studied this, that somebody out there probably already has, and they can tell us exactly why we evolved that way. Because we evolved with two very different roles in nature. And everything we know comes back to evolution. How did we survive? How did we evolve to become the way we are? And we're not going to change a million years of evolution, or however long you believe that is, in a short period of time, the way our civilization has changed in just the last 1,000 years. I mean, that's a blink of an eye. Mm-hmm. And we live in a very, very different world, and our bodies will take 100,000 years to adjust to this. So, you know, we have to account for that. And that's why you're specifically focusing on how we can help women in this issue when they face it. It doesn't mean men don't face this issue. We see men who have problems with adrenals. And it could just be the stress of work or physical stress or Disease causes stress. So there are lots of things that mimic the stress response in our body. It's not just what you're thinking about. It can be physical stress. It can be a disease stressing the body. But no matter what causes the stress response, the results are always the same. Our hormones are way out of whack when we're in this fight or flight mode all the time. And that is definitely tied to weight gain or weight loss or inability to lose weight. And we don't fully understand how yet. So we're biohacking and we're, you know, trying different things with each individual. And the good news is there are a lot of people working on this. So every time I read, I find somebody else who's been doing this and they have a tip. And, you know, for me, this was an amazing result that, you know, 45 minutes a day and I'm getting so many benefits from it. And I know for me, it's a little easier. And I don't say this to, you know, to make people mad or to piss them off, because I've just never been a really stressed out person. I tend to let most things just flow on by, and I try to stay focused on the positive things. That part of that's just my nature. I mean, I didn't do that. It's how I was raised or who knows what it was. But I can also, I also know that you take all of your natural strengths, whatever you've been given, and if you work on them, you can make them all better. So I'm not just going to go through life saying, oh, well, I got lucky. I don't seem to have the stress gene. I say, well, wait a minute. That's a good thing, but I can make it better. I can, or I could ignore it and I could end up just as sick as everybody else. So I do take the time to do the gratitude exercise in the morning, to do the focused meditation or guided hypnosis. And I think I'm seeing some pretty amazing results.
Yeah, that's great. And I can see it. I can see, and you just went through a really small blip where, you know, your sleep got out of whack and that kind of stuff. And we might not have noticed it when you were in it, but then when you came out of it, you're like, oh, he's back, you know? Yeah. And it was kind of funny. I think, what did I say to you this morning? Cause you know, people, you're West Coast, I'm East Coast. So I'm usually in here early and you've been in early now and come up with these ideas. I'm like, you need to go back to bed. it was so awesome because it's just, there's an energy that just happens. And, you know, we talk about that with people when they haven't got to experience that, their normal is not to know what that energy feels like. So, you know, I love the things that you did. You know, we talk with our highway people that have the diet down, have, you know, and even our supplements for adrenals are very minimal. And we don't even do those first. Then we talk lifestyle. And I love what we talk about lifestyle. We do. We talk gratitude. We talked the guided meditation, which was a game changer for me because I kept trying to figure it out on my own. And when I was out in Oregon, I think that was October when you showed me that app. I think I've bought like 5 or 6 more of his things, and it's priceless because it just works. And then, you know, we even talk about service, you know, give back to people. And stress isn't going to go anywhere with anybody. It's a fact of life. And so find things that work for you, and it comes back to you tenfold.
You know, you just said something that put another thought in my head. You know, stress isn't going to go away. It's not. We know that. And honestly, we don't want it to. Stress is not a bad thing. Stress is a very good thing. We evolved and survived because of the stress response. It kept us alive. Well, we don't have those kind of dangers in our world anymore. But I can also tell you that if you laid around the beach sipping pina coladas with umbrellas in them, you're not going to have a happy life. The opposite could be exactly true. You may be very, very low stress, but there would be a downside to that. I guarantee it. In a lot of ways. One, you wouldn't feel like you were contributing. You talked about service, and that's an important part for us. I believe we go back to evolution. You could not survive on the wild in your own for very long. You would die. That's why we have tribes. You know, that's why we use that word. It's so funny now. We started using it years ago, and now it's starting to have even a more profound meaning to me. You know, we evolved in tribes helping each other, and that's the only way we would have survived. We would have died without that. So the idea of, you know, no stress, you're also not probably giving back. You're not contributing. So it's kind of like the inflammation, de-inflammation response in our body. We need both the stress and no stress response. We need both. So it's not that we want to eliminate stress. We want to do a better job of managing it and understand how to get out of that stress response once in a while. We're going to get to a break. We're going to come back and get right to your calls, I promise. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, we are heading into the fourth segment. We'll get to a couple questions here, and then next show I'll try to keep the open a little shorter, and we'll get to a bunch of questions there. So don't hang up. We're going to do another hour today. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Kim, you and I could probably go on and on about this topic, and we will, but I do want to get to some calls and questions. So let's jump right into it. We are going to head off to Nebraska. Dave, welcome to the program.
How's it going, you guys?
Hi there.
Good. What's on your mind today?
Well, I got a NutriQ. That I sent in a week or so ago, and I'd like to kind of have you guys suggest what I need to do. I've been procrastinating for too long. I need to get this going, and there's no better time than the present right now.
That's right. I love that attitude. So when you say you've been procrastinating, does that mean you haven't really made any major changes in your diet yet?
That is correct. I've been reading and telling good. Everybody how good this keto thing is, and then I'm not even doing it.
You know what? That's okay, though, because that reading you're doing, the researching, the learning is going to serve you well once you start doing it. So it's excellent that you're doing the research and now you're ready to go. And looking at your chart, I didn't really need to ask the question. Diet is everything, or it's 90% of this. I shouldn't say everything because we just talked about stress and lifestyle, but diet is clearly what we are now referring to as our bedrock. You know, we talked about the foundations, which is the NTA's concept, and I love that. But I've been working on this idea of building on that. So I now believe that we need to separate diet out of the foundations. It is the bedrock. We have to start with diet first. Then we move into the foundations of digestion, sugar handling, fatty acids, mineral balance, hydration, those things. Those are the foundations. And then we are even talking about the pillars on top of the foundation, the three pillars of health being sleep, movement, and connection, that whole tribe concept. So you're going to be hearing a lot more about that. Your numbers are horrendous, just to let you know. And the good news, yeah, I thought I'd start off with the bad news first. The good news
That's good.
When we see a chart like this, I get really excited because 30 days from now, you are not going to believe how much better you can feel. So we'll give you a good 30-day plan, and you are going to be amazed as long as you do the hard work. You're going to be amazed at the changes. So you don't seem to be having too many problems in upper GI, stomach acid, liver, gallbladder. You're there, but they kind of pale in comparison to some of the other issues. We would still recommend, though, a hydrochloric acid and enzyme supplement for stomach and a beta plus for the fat digestion, because we're clearly going to recommend a keto diet as a nutritional jumpstart right now. And anytime we do that, it's a pretty major change. Your body has to digest very different macronutrients, probably Still quite a bit of protein that we need strong stomach acid for, and clearly a lot of fat. So we have to support your liver and gallbladder. And for the first 30 days, we're also going to add those bile salts that are in the Beta Plus. Then we would look at, okay, so you're off the charts in essential fatty acids, off the charts in sugar handling, vitamin, mineral, adrenal, pituitary, thyroid, men only, and almost off the charts in cardiovascular. Well, there's no way we would ever attempt to work on all of those things at once. We're going to work on digestion and sugar handling, nothing else. And perfect. For 30 days,
that's wonderful.
That's all you're going to focus on, because with nothing else, we're going to see improvements in almost every one of those other areas anyway. And if one or two of them don't really show any improvement, then that gives us our next target to start to go after. So this works really well without overwhelming somebody, without having you go out and buy 8 different supplements, and without confusing, you know, the results. So we're going to focus on 2 things. We're going to get your digestion right. We're going to work on sugar handling. And really, when I say work on sugar handling, that's almost all you. I mean, that's just staying strict keto. Digestion, we'll give you the supplements. You could, you know, we have the digestive protocol that talks about, you know, starting in the brain and the way you chew and all those other things. You certainly want to work on those digestive issues, the square breathing and relaxing before you eat. So you've got some work to do, but that would be our recommendation. You get the 2 digestive supplements. You know, and we have several to pick from, and sometimes it's really just trial and error. Some people respond really well to just hydrochloric acid. I would probably recommend, Kim, what do you think? Maybe Hydrazyme?
Yeah, that seems to be working. That additional enzyme has really been working well with people.
Yeah. So we would either do... go ahead.
I'm sorry, Kevin. So sorry. Can you guys help me out on this, like the guidance part of it, or via email or something? How do you guys do that? Or what would you guys do, I guess?
So, you know, what we offer free is what we're doing right now. You know, we give you the software, right. The NutriQ. If you can get in on the air, I'll spend time with you. And I know it can be very confusing, and I have to kind of rush a little bit. We do offer several programs. Now, like I said, we'll tell you exactly what supplement you can call, and when you're ordering, we could help you a little bit. If you wanted us to really be there step by step, you would look at either our Silver or Gold Highway program to get started. It includes the one-on-one, the follow-up. If it's the Gold program, we even do the fit test to make sure that, you know, there isn't food sensitivities here. Causing problems. So what I would do, take some time, go onto the page on our website under health plans and look at the different options we have there. And then you can decide. And if you have any questions, you can always call us.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, you guys. I really appreciate it. We'll keep in touch.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Oklahoma. Wade, welcome to the program.
Hi, how's it going, Kevin and Kim?
Hi,
good. Wade. What's on your mind today?
Hmm. Well, another wannabe NutriQ.
Yeah, well, Dave, yours actually doesn't look too bad. Yours makes our job a little easier. You look like you are having real struggles, though, with probably stomach acid. And I haven't looked at any of your symptoms. I'm only looking at the graph itself. Have you had problems with heartburn, or have you been on any kind of heartburn medications in your life?
Just over the counter. I mean, not as far as like Prilosec or anything like that, but I have been, depending on what food I've ate in the past, sometimes I do deal with indigestion. I've been trying to clean my diet up. I've been trying to do keto, but I'm about 277 pounds. I want to lose about 80 pounds. I've been trying to do keto. I don't feel like I'm digesting my food or that I'm getting the benefits from the fat. I am doing the Bulletproof coffee, so, which holds me to about 1 o'clock, and then I'll eat like some turkey and with some Kerrygold butter and cheese, and then around supper time it varies, organic turkey or pulled pork or chicken, and sweet potatoes with Kerrygold butter. But my problem, I sleep not the greatest, and then in the middle of the night I wake up periodically and I get hungry, and I think I need to eat something, and I just, like I said, I don't feel like either digestion's working right or I'm not getting the benefits from the fat, or so that's why I was really curious to what you would say.
That's pretty clear here in the results. And like I say, since you're not scoring really high on a lot of stuff, pretty easy on us. I think for you, like some people, you know, we give them a 30-day program, and I know damn well we're going to be doing a different 30-day program after that and a different 30-day program after that and probably one more after that. And it's probably going to take us 4 months to really address all the issues. You've only got a couple.
Okay.
So it seems almost a little counterintuitive, but I'm going to recommend actually a couple extra supplements for you. And I think we can knock out a lot of your problems in 30 days. And we may not have to do much anything after that. Clearly, you need help in the stomach acid department. So a digestive supplement, the Beta Plus for the fat digestion as you go more and more keto. I would throw in the Biodolph, a probiotic, and I would recommend berberine. And that's really going to start bringing the blood sugar symptoms down, which is what's causing the sleep issues. So those four. The digestive, I think I would start with the Hydrazyme. So Hydrazyme, okay. Beta Plus, Biodolph 7, and the Berberine. And, you know, call us back in probably 2 weeks after you start those, and we'll review some results then. We're all out of time. Clock says I've got to get out of here. We'll see you next time. Be safe, be profitable, fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody, give me 1 minute and we will start another episode here. All right, everybody, give me just 1 minute, and I'll be right back. All right, here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking, and today is Destination Health. My co-host is joining me, Kim Cockerham, and we'll take your calls and answer your questions about everything health, fitness, diet, nutrition, lifestyle, disease, food, supplements, drugs, you name it, we'll tackle it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call us. Kim, welcome.
Grateful to be here, Kevin.
Yeah, gratitude. That's a wonderful thing. I talked last week about how I start every day with that. I also talked on the last show about the shift we're finally starting to see in the medical community, even in mainstream doctors, and how I'm starting to see a lot more talk in the mainstream media about, you know, finally getting away from that old, tired, low-fat, healthy, whole grain, all that garbage that has made us so sick for decades now. And we're starting to see this shift towards real food and high fat. And, you know, it's funny because we used to eat this way, and it wasn't that long ago. For some of us, it was probably just our grandparents who ate, you know, breakfast. And it's funny because we're one of the few countries in the world that has like very specific breakfast food. You know, most mm-hmm. people just eat food, but we had these like specific breakfast foods. But for a long time, especially when people lived on farms, it tended to be like bacon and eggs. You know, eggs were cheap. You had chickens running around. If you raised a pig or two, you had pork. That was easy. So they ate bacon and eggs and sausage and eggs and ham and eggs. And that was a pretty standard breakfast for a very long time. The interesting thing is, if we go back to that time, we would have never called it high fat. So in some ways, I don't even like the term. We use it all the time because we have to distinguish. But honestly, when we ate that way, we didn't call it high fat. We just called it food. And then we started shifting to the cereal grains as breakfast. And the cereal grains of all kinds, so whether it's true breakfast cereal or bagels or toast or muffins or croissants or donuts or, I mean, you think of the quick, easy, convenience breakfast foods we have today, and they are all very grain-based and loaded with sugar and carbs, and that dominates our breakfast now. The crazy thing was, the guy who started this, when he started this, he ran what was called a health asylum. And he was one of the first people to start focusing on health in how we ate. So, and there was religious, you know, connotations, and it's a crazy story, but we all know the name of the guy who started this. It was Kellogg. And mm-hmm. there were actually two brothers, and they didn't even necessarily agree with each other. But that's where the whole grain thing and you know, how we started shifting the way we ate for breakfast. And that was a really, really bad direction. And God, that was probably 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. And now we're finally starting to turn that around. And we're saying, look, go back to the bacon and eggs and the sausage and eggs, or forget breakfast food and just eat food. You know, you're big on eating leftovers from the dinner the night before for breakfast.
Yeah. And that was an eye-opener with my fit test with eggs coming out on it. Cause eggs were my go-to for breakfast. And it wasn't a hard shift at all. It was just instantly think, you know, make a little extra and have that in the morning. And it's been really enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's a wonderful mm-hmm. shift. It opens up all kinds of new possibilities mm-hmm. for you. If you're going to make dinner, make just a little extra. And now talk about a convenience breakfast. Get up mm-hmm. in the morning, warm it up, and you've got an awesome meal. So, you know, that's a really nice shift to make. I have found that bulletproof coffee for me is my nuclear option for breakfast. I mean, it's just amazing the results I get from it. And I've been the real secret. I mean, bulletproof coffee was a real shift for me, but almost a bigger shift for me was going to the brain octane instead of the coconut oil and then upping the amounts of the brain octane. And I always warn people, don't, you know, I do 4 tablespoons of brain octane in about a 2-hour window in the morning. Don't try that. We have a phrase. It's called disaster pants.
Yeah.
Start slow. For whatever reason, I never had a negative reaction to the brain octane. Right from the start, I could go pretty heavy. But the recommendation is actually start with a teaspoon. And I'm doing 4 tablespoons. But the results for me are amazing. I understand why Dave Asprey calls it brain octane. because it is amazing the way my brain works. It is firing like a V12 with a turbocharger. And I love it because that's what I do. I think and I research and I come up with ideas, and I hate when I even get a little bit of brain fog. And if I stick with what I've been doing, very strict keto all morning and throughout the afternoon with a lot of the brain octane, and then I can even go pretty high carb for the last 3 or 4 hours of the night, and it's working really well for me. So I want to get to what else we were going to talk about, though, which is this shift in the media, and that's an exciting thing to see. We're going to be talking a lot about blood sugar control and diabetes, because it's a huge problem in our society, way bigger than what we even believe. In fact, that's something else I'm seeing in the news, that we're finally waking up to how bad this is going to be. We think it's bad now, but we don't know how this is going to explode over the next decade or two if we don't change this, even over the next 5 years. The estimates on how many people are pre-diabetic and how young they are is absolutely terrifying. So all of the statistics we hear, which make me cringe when I see them, are only the tip of the iceberg. We have got to get a handle on this, and it's a big focus for us. So it's what we're talking about on the show today. And next week, next Wednesday, I believe, it will be our show. In fact, we'll probably do two shows on this next week. And we have a webinar coming up. Now, the webinars are exclusively for the people that are in our programs. That is really the next level of education and mentoring around this idea. So those are not free webinars. You can't even pay to get into the webinar. We make them available exclusively to the people that are in one of our health plans. But I was doing some numbers this morning because I love numbers, and I found a pretty interesting statistic, and I think it's very, very conservative, but it's still pretty telling. So we know that we have a huge problem in this country with health insurance and health care. Two totally different things, but we refer to them as though they're one. We need to start separating them if we're going to ever get any clarity on this issue and figure out a way to solve it. We have problems with our health care system because it's too expensive and we have too many really sick people. That's one issue in health care. That creates the problem in health insurance because no matter how we slice this, there's just not enough money to go around. You can't possibly tax the rich enough to pay for all of this. And we certainly can't tax the poor or the middle class. And the government can't do this because the government doesn't have any money. It's all ours. So we're never going to solve the health insurance problem. And that's the one we keep focusing on. Like somehow, you know, we know Obamacare was an absolute failure. Trump tried to come out with a new plan. It sucked, honestly. It's the one thing I was horribly disappointed in him so far. I like some of the things he's doing, but clearly his idea on health insurance was awful. I'm glad it died. But no matter what they write, it's not going to work. That's the problem. No matter what health insurance plan they come up with, it's going to fail because we have to address our health care first. Our health care is so outrageously expensive, and the biggest part of that is people are just too damn sick. So we've got to fix this at that grassroots level of getting people healthy. The exciting thing is it's drop-dead simple to do. Not easy. I didn't say easy. I said it's drop-dead simple to do. We'll talk about that. And in the context of type 2 diabetes when we come back right after this. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me. So, Kim, you know, fixing our health care problem with so many sick people, so many people under constant care of doctors, so many people on multiple prescription medicines that cause more problems, and then they end up with hospital visits and surgeries, and we have to fix that. And I said it's drop-dead simple, and it really is. I don't care what the issue is. Eat real food, right? Isn't that what we talk about all the time?
Always first. Mm-hmm.
It would solve 90% of this. Now, I say it's simple because that's it right there. That's the whole concept. Eat real food. And I always want to throw in grains aren't real food. They were never meant to be human food. So when I say eat real food, you might say, well, wheat grows in nature, so it's real food. It's not. We would never walk out into a field of wheat and start munching on the plant. But I can take down an animal and literally whack off a piece of meat and eat it. And that might gross people out, but we could do that. That's real food for us. We could pick a piece of fruit or a vegetable off of a plant and we could eat that. That's real food for us. I can go down in the Columbia River right here in front of me. I'm looking at it. And if I can manage to get a salmon out of that, I could slice a piece off and eat it. That's real food. I'm not going to walk out into a field of wheat and start munching on the grain. So real food, meat, fats, fruits, vegetables, those are real food. And if we ate those foods and nothing but those foods, we would solve 90% of this problem. It's that simple, but it's not easy. But it's not nearly as hard as people think either. People want to use a lot of excuses. Well, that food's, you know, harder to find. It's not available. It all has to be refrigerated. We could go on and on with the excuses. And as long as you have the excuses, you're never going to make the change. So I'll say it's simple to understand. I mean, I can explain this to a five-year-old and they can get it. It's a little harder to put into place in your life, but it's absolutely worth the effort. And let's talk about one of our biggest problems, which is diabetes. So I did a rough estimate based on numbers, based on the average age of diagnosis of diabetes, type 2 diabetes, the average lifespan of somebody who is diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, and the average annual cost of their health care just for the direct cost of diabetes. So I am being very, very conservative with this number, because once you have diabetes, your health care cost will go through the roof in many other areas. You're going to gain weight, and we know weight gain causes all kinds of problems. You're going to have heart disease, which causes all kinds of problems and cost. You're going to have what's called metabolic syndrome with high blood pressure and high cholesterol and all those things. I didn't even touch on those. All I calculated was the cost of the direct care for the diabetes itself. The average that somebody is going to spend on healthcare if they are diagnosed as a diabetic is $85,200. $85,000 just for the care. That doesn't include the complications. It doesn't include the time off work. It doesn't include the loss of time with your family and all these other things. And by the way, it should be higher than that, but because you have type 2 diabetes, you're going to die early. So, you know, we're not going to have to pay for you after that. If that sounds cold, too bad. That's the truth. You're going to die early. So at that point, we're not going to have to spend any more money. Now, people say, oh, well, it's not my money. I'm not going to spend $85,000. That's why I have insurance. That's why we have such a health insurance nightmare and a crisis right now, because of that kind of thinking. Somebody has to pay that $85,000. It's not the insurance company. It's not the government. Both of those organizations have to get their money from us. So this is all our money, $85,000 per person, and we have tens of millions of people who are diabetics. And I had, like I said, I haven't even touched on all the other complications. I'm not talking about, well, I'm not even going to get into it because I could be here for a week talking about all the other costs to this. Isn't that insane?
It truly is. And it's sad because it's, we've taken it as it's just a part of life that you see it. Not with this part of yours. I'm sure everybody's touched by people in their lives, whether they have diabetes or, you know, my father has type 2. My my father-in-law had type 2 with neuropathy and losing a couple toes. And you see that and you suddenly, you know, you see them do the insulin after a meal and that it's just part of the norm. And it is so far from the norm. And it's, I'm hoping this is an area we can see a big shift like everything else because it's at the root of so much.
And the really, really sad part about this is it is 100% avoidable if you don't have it and 100% reversible if you do.
You know, Kevin, I'll never forget we had... I'm sorry, real quick. This lady stuck in my mind. This was when Brittany was in high school and we did a service project where these kids addressed mailed things for the Diabetes Association. Her son had type 1 diabetes. And she told the kids right there, she said, I do not feel sorry for anybody with type 2 diabetes. Here she's dealing with a son with type 1 that you can't prevent. And here she said, I do not. And this was, like I said, how many years ago? I do not feel sorry for anybody with type 2 diabetes. And again, that could come across cold, but you know, I mean, it's just something that can be avoided and healed.
Exactly. Exactly. So now you've put two thoughts into my head, which is what you're really good at, by the way. You say things that make me think, and that's why we go three segments all the time before we ever get to calls, but that's okay because this is all good stuff. So the first one I'm going to say, and we're going to move past because I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I understand exactly what she meant when she said it. And that was the prevailing thought. And I'm not saying this to blame anybody for their diseases. We're not here to blame anybody. We're here to help people avoid them. They've been given bad information and we're here to correct that information. We now know that type 1 is avoidable. That type 1 is a diet-related disease, even though it's not a lifestyle long-term, not usually not for the person who gets it, because the person who gets it is usually a juvenile. This usually shows up very early in life, but we do know that it is an autoimmune condition, and we know that autoimmune conditions are absolutely lifestyle and diet-related. We know that your gut bacteria plays a huge role in this, and gut bacteria is strictly dictated by your food and your lifestyle. So again, without blaming anybody, it is our diet and lifestyle that is the reason type 1 has even exploded. We don't have to have kids being diagnosed with type 1, but it's generational now. We've been eating this way for a couple generations, and that's why even type 1 is exploding. So it really all does come down to diet. We have to change our diet in this country if we're going to get healthy. Now, here's the point I really want to drive home with this. $85,000, that is a very, very conservative figure on what it's going to cost somebody who has diabetes, type 2. That mostly gets paid for by insurance. If you don't have insurance, it gets picked up by the government, either Medicaid or Medicare. That means we're all paying for this. Now, you and I, Kim, could take a person with type 2 diabetes and we could put together a one-year program where we were with them the whole year. And it doesn't even take a year. But I'm saying we're going to give you maximum value out of this. We're going to be here for a year with you. We're going to show you exactly what to do step by step. We're going to create the recipes, the meal plans, the supplements. And our goal is to get you off every single medication, off every supplement at some point, and mentor you to the point where after that year, you would never have to worry about this again. That you will, we will either avoid the diabetes if you're headed that way, or we will completely reverse it, even if you're on three diabetic medications right now. We could do that in 1 year with our eyes closed and half of our brain tied behind our back, and we could do it for 1/20th of that cost, and when that year was over, you'd never spend another penny. You know that we could do that, right?
Absolutely. In a heartbeat. I'm shaking my head. I'm nodding while you're doing this because it's just, and it's actually, if anybody has that, you know, has deal with type 2 diabetes, know it's that simple. That, like you said, not simple, but that it's possible. It's hopeful.
Yeah. It's been proven. We've proven it. We've done it in 30 days. Now, I like the idea of a year. We actually spent that much time with somebody to make sure all the changes stick, and you mentor them so that when that year is over, they know exactly why this worked and how to eat and live the rest of their life so they don't get this disease back or any other disease. And when I come back, I'll talk about the cost and I'll talk about why it's probably not going to work. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me. So, Kim, I think I'm going to have to adjust my numbers because I got thinking about this. I was going to say we could do this one-year plan where we did all this work and it was one-on-one and intensive and we were with them every month. And I was thinking 1/20th of that roughly $80,000, which is about $4,000. For an entire, you know, one-on-one, hold your hand, mentor you the entire year. But I got looking. I was going to say, we don't really have a program like that because I don't think people would be willing to pay $4,000, which is the really sad part. Insurance won't cover it. They should. If they really wanted to fix this problem, they won't. Most people, you know, maybe they can't afford the $4,000 or maybe they don't see the value in it. But then I went and looked at the, I said, wait a minute, we kind of do have this plan. Somebody could do our top level gold highway, which is $575, which is very intensive. And then they could switch over to the Health Gauges Pro, which is $210 a quarter. So that's $840 and roughly $600. We can do this for like 1/40th of the cost. Like, yeah. $1,400 instead of $85,000. And it's not only the money, obviously that's a huge difference in the money, but what about the quality of life? I mean, we're talking about spending $85,000 because you have type 2 diabetes and you're never going to get any better under the current model. You're going to continue to get worse every year, and then you're going to die a horrible death early, right?
Yeah, with the poor quality. Yeah.
Yeah. Or we can fix it right now in 1 year or less. Fix it right now. You'll never have to spend another penny on this horrendous disease. And you get to enjoy an amazing life. And it's going to be longer. You're not going to be facing all this pain and suffering and misery and missing out on your family and your loved ones and not being able to run your business successfully because you're sick and going to the doctors and taking medication and taking your blood sugar and taking insulin. And Doesn't this make you a little crazy to think about this?
You know, it does. And you know what, the thing is, I know a lot of people, the best part about, I think, all of our, the programs that we do is that people aren't alone in something. I know a lot of people just feel alone in their struggle and their battle. And especially if you're out on the road, you know, and you're not sure what to do and this and that. I think that's probably, you know, we talk about community. It's just, we to be able to work with people on this and so they don't feel alone is probably one of the biggest things, I think. You know, we educate, but we just want to know people, let people know we're here so they won't be alone.
You know, it's kind of interesting, Kim. We've talked about this in the past, and we kind of run our company this way. I'm a big believer in strengths, and we have the standout. We make all of our employees take that standout assessment so that we can understand what their strengths are and put them in the right place. And it just jumped out at me. I know what my strengths are. They're in research. They're in helping people understand complicated issues. And I'm an influencer. So here I am jumping up and down and beating on the desk and telling people you're going to die a horrendous early death if you don't do something, because that's me. And you're the one saying we're going to take care of you. And that's why we work so well together, though, because we need that. You know, people do need to know they're going to be taken care of. And even though I care about people, it doesn't always come across. I can come across as a little cold. And you know, your strength, and we know this, is you support people. You make people feel loved and cared for, because that's you. That's what you do. That's what you get up in the morning for. And I think it's just a great example of finding what your strengths are and then working in them.
Oh, thanks. I really appreciate that, because I'll pound my head against the wall like, why can't I remember things like Kevin does? Because I'm like, how does he retain that stuff? And I'm going back and looking up the same thing for the fifth time, you know? And I appreciate that you had us as a company even do that, because that is true, you know, focus on what your strengths are. And I so appreciate working with you on this, Kevin, and our whole team, because as a team, we are just, it's just so powerful. We have such a great team. It's such great strength. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're welcome. Thank you. So we're going to get to some calls. We're going to do more shows around this, because this is a big issue. Our webinar coming up May 3rd we're going to deep dive into this topic. The webinars I love, because it really gives us a chance to just really get down to the nitty gritty on these. We have handouts. We do case studies. We're growing that. So, but we do reserve those webinars for people who are in one of our programs. As much as we love doing this and as much as we love helping people, it takes money. And I'm never going to downplay that. We need people to buy our products, to support us, to be in our programs. And the more people do that, the more we will give back, because the more we'll be able to give back. Money really does drive all of this stuff. And I'd like to see that money start shifting away from big pharmaceutical companies, big medical companies, big hospitals, big government, and start shifting down to, and this is going to be a shameless plug, but start shifting down to people and companies like us that want to do this the right way and want to make people healthy and happy. But we need money. I mean, it's just as simple as that. There's no way around that. So, again, I appreciate all the people who support us, and I want more. Look at our health plan. And if you want to be in on these webinars with us, join one of the health plans. Not only are you going to get tremendous benefits from the health plans itself, we do have all these extras. And as we get more and more people into this program, I promise we'll continue to give back more. That's a true win-win for all of us.
Yeah, and we're in industry. I appreciate you guys as a company dedicating so much time and resources. So let me add this thing too. If anybody right now with the sign up for our health services, we have a little, it's a little restriction in that they have to be on PayPal to do it. Now, Aaron's working so hard on another system, which won't limit us to that. So if anybody ever has any challenge, they say, I want to be a part of this, you know, and they go to sign up for something and then hit a roadblock and then you're like, oh, I'll try later. Call us at 855-800-3835 or email us at support@letstruck.com, and we'll work with you on that, because we just want we're all about education, and we want as many people on board with us to learn and grow too.
Absolutely. So enough of a commercial. We're going to get to the phone calls. Let's head off to Minnesota. John, welcome to the program. John, are you with us?
Whoops.
Huh. John?
Yeah.
Sounds like he's there. Maybe not. We'll try to come back to that if we get a chance, although we have a lot of questions. Let's go to Texas. Daryl, welcome to the program.
Hello. I'm calling about an exercise program that I'm on. And when I do my exercise program, I buy vitamins at like your GNCs or whatever. I notice my blood pressure goes up with the caffeine and the stimulants in those supplements. Do you have supplements I could take that I could use in my exercise program, but will give me the same results as what I use there? Also, I last year was on a steroid injection program, but I haven't started it this year because I'm not sure if that part of it is healthy or not. Although I am 54 and my steroid levels do go down, you know, the older I get. What can you tell me?
I can tell you a lot. So first off, I'm 54 and I can promise you that steroid levels, hormone levels, and specifically testosterone does not have to go down because you get older. It comes back to that same thing we keep talking about. Just because something is common doesn't mean that it's normal. And the doctors love this. They can point to statistics and say, oh, no, look, 80% of the men over 50 have low testosterone levels. It's just because you're older. No, it's not. It's because 80% or 100% of us have been eating a lousy diet most of our life. So the answer isn't to get artificial drugs injected into us or patches put on that if you ever listen to the side effects of those drugs, they are
right now.
So you don't have to lose testosterone because you get older. I've never tested my levels, but I'm pretty in touch with my body and not necessarily something I'm proud of at this point in my life, but when I owned a gym and when I was bodybuilding and powerlifting heavy, I was taking steroids. They were actually prescribed by a doctor, but that's kind of like saying people had, you know, OxyContin prescribed by a doctor. It, you know, I wasn't using it for a medical reason. Even though I found a doctor who was willing to prescribe it, I was abusing steroids. I did it for a short period of time, on and off for less than 6 months. The results were amazing, but it was not worth it. And that's no different than what they are doing today with testosterone patches and injections. They're legal steroids, and there's no medical use and reason to be taking them. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right. I just I want to say something real quick before we head into the fourth segment here. We're not going to be able to do 3 hours today. I'd love to because we are absolutely slammed with questions. And I know we haven't got to many of them, but I've got a full day today. But this is something I'm thinking about. I'm not sure what the solution is going to be, but I want to be able to answer more questions when we do these shows. But I also really think it's very important that we spend the time on a targeted topic like we're doing, rather than keep answering repetitive questions where sometimes people aren't learning as much. So it's a conundrum that I've got to work on. Maybe it means more hours of recording. I'm not sure yet, but I just want to let people know. I know there might be some frustration. You're calling in. We are only getting to so many questions, and this week's a little worse. I can't do 3 hours, but just know that it's on my project list that I think about every day, and I'm trying to find a solution. So here we go. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Kim, I was talking with Daryl, and Daryl, I may come back to you in just a second. I'm going to leave you on hold so you can listen to this for a minute, because this is an important topic. Kim, think about over the last 30 years or so. I mean, when I say I took steroids, it was about 20, a little over, almost 25 years ago. I started taking them when I was 19, and I owned the gym. Because I was doing some competitive bodybuilding and competitive powerlifting. And I did it some more when I was in the Army. And I had a doctor that prescribed them, but I knew. I mean, that was a sham. Mm-hmm. He might have been a doctor. It might have been a prescription, but I had no medical reason to take those. I was taking them purely for enhancement. And I got mm-hmm. smart and said, wait a minute, this is just dumb. Why would I do this to my health? A trophy isn't worth this. So I quit. In my gym at the time, steroids were rampant back then. This is not an exaggeration. I used to go in and clean up the bathrooms at night, and I'd find hypodermic needles in the wastebasket because we had guys injecting steroids in the bathroom. And we've heavily criticized athletes for doing that for years, right? We disqualify them. And I think we should. Right. I'm not saying we shouldn't criticize them. We have. We've made examples, bad examples, of the athletes who get caught doing this. But yet, we have drug companies every day running commercials about testosterone replacement for men. What the hell's the difference? It's the exact same drug. Mm-hmm. Why all of a sudden is it okay? Because you don't have the energy levels you used to have. You don't have the libido you used to have. Don't you want to be better in the bedroom? And because of all that, it's okay to take these drugs now that we've criticized for decades?
Yeah, and put it on a commercial.
Yeah. Yeah, and people don't stop to think about that. And I understand why they don't stop to think about it. They saw it on TV. It's a doctor prescribing it. It must be legitimate. Yeah. It's awful what we've done with, first of all, there are only two countries in the world that allow those kind of commercials. And unfortunately, there are two countries I absolutely love. The one I live in, the United States. And if I ever left here to go live someplace else, my first choice would be New Zealand. And guess what? They're the other country in the world that allows.
Oh,
yeah.
I didn't realize. I'm surprised.
Yeah, a year or two ago, there used to be three, I think maybe Brazil or somebody, I forget, but they stopped it. No other countries in the world allow this to advertise pharmaceutical drugs on TV, magazines, all that stuff. They don't allow it. And they shouldn't, because we should not be marketed to about something we know absolutely nothing about. Mm-hmm. We don't have the background to know what drug we should be taking for what disease, but that's what happens with these commercials. People run to their doc, and the commercial tells you, go to your doctor and tell him you want this drug. You don't let the patient make that choice. That's insanity. So I know I went off on a rant there, but Daryl, here's my answer. First off, skip the supplements if you're not going to clean up your diet. If you want to get the testosterone levels back, if you want to get the energy levels back without stimulants. Now, I am not against caffeine at all as a stimulant for exercise. It's an awesome stimulant, but not in things like energy drinks and pills and you know, a good cup of black coffee or bulletproof coffee before you work out is an awesome enhancement with actual benefits. There are antioxidants and, you know, the good fats and all those things. So if you want a recommendation on supplements for the gym workout, I really don't have any. I'm not a big believer in most of those. We have some supplements that would certainly help, but this is really about cleaning up your diet. And I have found that what I'm doing right now for me, and I'm not working out, by the way, just because I don't have time, this keto cycling for me, heavy keto in the morning, I'm almost going to call it carb loading at night, and bulletproof coffee the next day, I could promise you, if I were to work out right now in the morning in a fasted state, I would get the best results I have ever had in my life. There's no shortage of testosterone right now. And it's all diet. I am on zero supplements right now. I'm not taking any digestive supplements. every once in a while, if I know I'm eating a big meal, which I don't eat too many big meals anymore, I will take like the Intenzyme and the Beta Plus, but it's not regular. It's not at every meal, and I'm not taking anything else. So my advice to you would be, don't start the testosterone. Skip the stimulants and the multivitamins and the performance things you're finding at GNC. Really, really clean up your diet. Play around with things like keto and see what works for you. And then at some point, maybe there are some supplements you want to look at. But I wouldn't even make a recommendation right now. Let's go to Arkansas. Elwin, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Oops, sorry, I hit the wrong button. We're going to Arkansas. Elwin, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm back again, your favorite non-compliant person.
Okay. What's on your mind today?
I was wondering about, I did that online, and nobody can make sense of what's going on. I'm sure you can.
When you say nobody, just so I know, who's looked at it and tried to interpret it?
Oh, my son and myself. That's about it.
Okay. Yours actually doesn't look too bad. Some digestive issues are spiking a little bit, and that's what we see with most people. Not unusual. A little bit of issues in stomach acid, very common. Small intestine is showing up. Your liver and gallbladder look really good. We're not seeing any symptoms around liver and gallbladder. Small intestine is probably your worst digestive issue. That could indicate some lack of like pancreatic enzymes in your diet. If you're not really consuming a diet high in raw foods, that might be a possibility. You could have what's called SIBO. We're finding that much more common now. Small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, where the gut bacteria that's supposed to stay in your large intestine takes its way up into your small intestine. There are a couple reasons that can happen, and it kind of wreaks havoc up there. You're showing some signs of that. But clearly, your biggest issue is in the area of sugar handling.
I'm a type 2 diabetic, and didn't get prescribed any diagnosis till I had a heart attack in 50, when I was 60-something years old. And between diet and medication, it seems to be all right, but my son and I always have discussions over that because, it's hard for me to believe that it can be cured. It can be handled. It can be brought down. I'd almost be willing to go on that project you were just talking about just to, pray that you all would prove me wrong. But anyway,
Let me address that, because I like that attitude. I like that open mind, and I know I have talked to you in the past, and I understand why you're kind of entrenched in your ideas, because as a type 2 diabetic, this is what you've been told over and over and over. You can't cure it. You can only manage it. Well, let's think about that for a second. If you require medication to manage this, if you stop the medication, you'd probably die, right?
No, not necessarily. Even when I do go off the medication quite a bit, and it just raises my blood sugar level by maybe 20, 25 points. It averages from 100 to 130.
I'll say this, I don't like it, but you're managing it pretty well then, so you are minimizing your long-term effects. So congratulations on that. Because a lot of type 2 diabetics are not even able to manage it that well. But here's the way I can prove this. This is really simple to prove. And you know this. How do we ever know that you have type 2 diabetes? What is the one single thing we look at to say you have type 2 diabetes?
Your blood sugar levels. And another question with that is, how come when you, I've never been on insulin ever, except when I go in the hospital for a surgery or something like that, then they immediately put me on it. And I can understand that because my grandmother, back in the day, she gave up and ended up dying because the diabetes went nuts and put her blind. You know what I'm saying? So she gave up after that.
Absolutely. Hey, Elwin, hold on, because after the show, in just a minute here, I'm going to come back to you because I don't want to cut you off, but the clock says I've got to get out of here. So stick with me. I'm going to wrap up the show. I'm going to come back and talk to you. Thanks for joining us today. We're all out of time. This hour just flies by. We're working on some ideas to do more of this because it's become so popular and there are so many questions. And I'll keep you informed on what we're doing in that area. Be safe. Be profitable. Be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody. Thanks, everybody. I said I couldn't do 3 hours, and we're not. But, Elwin, I want to bring you back. I didn't want to rush that, and I didn't want to cut you off. So blood sugar is the absolute measurement we use to say you are pre-diabetic or you are full-blown diabetic. That's a wonderful thing because it's a hard number. Now, we have hundreds of examples. There was an awesome video Kim and I watched earlier today that we're going to be sharing. And this is not unusual. It's just it was done so well in this video. The woman's blood sugar was, her average was 300. She was clearly diabetic. I don't remember the time frame. I think it was less than a year. Kim, you probably remember it. Her blood sugar now is 83. She's not diabetic. We could take her to 50 different doctors and say, is she or is she not diabetic? And not one of them would ever be able to find anything about her body to say she was diabetic. There's no clues left. She is clearly not diabetic. So if you want to take us up on the challenge, we'd love to. And I'm 100% sure that if you do your part of the bargain and we do ours, you will not be diabetic.
It's scary. You know, I know what happened to my grandmother. And the other thing is that you're talking, like that lady, if she kept on going, she'd go through, lose feet, toes, whatever.
Absolutely.
Now, I lost both my legs, but both my legs, I had a circulation problem in my right leg. And trust me, I don't like doctors and I don't trust doctors in a lot of cases. Certain ones I do, certain ones I don't, because if it wasn't for the doctors, I'd have my legs right now, because they were trying to do some sore repair and things like that, gave me Mercer, and before I could get that straightened out, Mercer came on the other leg. So trust me, I don't like doctors at all.
Well, and I can see why, but just to let you know, hearing your history, the heart attack, the heart disease, the poor circulation, those are all, and we haven't been told this, we may not have known it, we do now. Those are absolutely complications of high blood sugar. They're all related.
Okay.
It's blood sugar that causes the circulatory problems. That's why people get neuropathy in their feet first. Your feet are the farthest away from your heart. As soon as we restrict blood flow, they start to die. So but the blood flow is caused by high blood sugar. That's why it causes heart disease. That's why it causes high blood pressure. That's why it causes neuropathy and sores, but it all comes back. That's why Kim and I spend so much time on diabetes. It's why we're going to spend so much more time on this, because this is the root cause of about 70% of our other health problems.
Well, yeah, and it has to do with diet, and I agree with you totally on that. And that is through the years. And my wife, who passed in January, got me off of a lot of stuff and got me straightened out in a lot of things. And
Good. And I'm sorry for your loss, but that's... and this is the kind of thing that drives us in the morning. I don't want to see people going through this and suffering when they don't need to. They've just been given the wrong information for years. I am not blaming anybody for their diet. I'm not blaming anybody for the drugs they're on. I blame the system. I would lay the blame right at the feet of four groups. Four groups have done this to us. Big agriculture, big pharmaceutical, big medicine, and government. Those four groups have killed us, and they're continuing to kill us. And it's my mission to stop that. For the people who want to stop it and are willing to listen and work with this. Elwin, again, I got to cut you off. I have got appointments I've got to get to. But I appreciate your open mind. I know we've kind of clashed in the past, and the fact that you keep coming back with an open mind, I have a tremendous amount of respect for that. So thank you for that. And if there's any way we could help you, we would love to. Kim, thanks. It was an awesome show today.
Yeah, great show, everyone. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. And we will see you this weekend for the live show. And don't forget, head on over to the store. Everything we talked about today, Brain Octane, whatever it is, we've got it over there. And look at the health plans. We have put a tremendous amount of time and money and resources into the whole health initiative, and we've done very little to monetize it up to this point. And that has to change. It just does. And we would love to have your support. So thank you, and we'll see you next time.